This is the last Sunday after Epiphany. It is the Sunday of the Transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel is Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. So let us pray. Lord, accept your Holy Spirit to teach us. This is just going to be a story. Then may you open my mouth wide, fill it with the words of your Holy Spirit. May you be present with those who hear. And may we grow in knowledge of you. May we participate in this wonderful event. May we be your disciples. Amen. I went to help start an Episcopal church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the name originally chosen for that church was the Church of the Transfiguration. Now, one of the donors, the major donors, this was before I arrived, one of the major donors, who's a lifelong Episcopalian, came up to the senior warden and said, "What's a transfiguration?" Had absolutely no idea. And eventually, a number of, quote, important people were anxious to change the name of this church from something they had no clue about to something that they could get alongside. And so we went from being the Church of the Transfiguration, which I would have infinitely preferred. By the time I arrived, we were now St. Margaret of Scotland. People seem to have no clue what a transfiguration is. They have no understanding of it. They don't think it's significant. The transfiguration tells us who Jesus is. That's the first thing, that he is God incarnate. The glory of God shone from within him, and we saw it. By we, I mean man saw this glory. Peter, James, and John were there, and Peter speaks of this while referring to the reliability of Scripture. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father, when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Well, what caused this to happen? What was the trigger event? You read in the scriptures the somewhat enigmatic beginning to our gospel reading about 8 days after. After what? After Jesus made his first statement about his coming death and resurrection. They were at Caesarea Philippi. Peter had confessed for the first time that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And then you read this in Luke chapter 9. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anybody. Why? Because the people had a totally misguided, distorted view of who Messiah was, and Jesus was anxious not to let that get running, otherwise there would be revolution and upheaval. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And then he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." And then he says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" So he predicts his death, and in a real way, he predicts our death, our daily death to self. And then 8 days after this, he goes up a mountain to pray. Well, about what? We don't know specifically, but we can, I believe, responsibly speculate. He went to pray and submit about his coming death. And how may we know this? Well, he prays. He submits himself to the will of his Father. And in that submission, we get a glimpse of who he really is. The glory of God shines out from him. Then Moses and Elijah appear. Moses, the great lawgiver, Elijah, the great prophet. And Jesus combines both of these roles within himself. And Moses and Elijah talk with him. About what? Scripture says they spoke of his departure. Literally, the word is his exodus that he was going to accomplish from Jerusalem. In other words, his death. Bearing the sins of the world upon the cross. This, I think, strengthened within him the understanding of what was his mission. Why else would they discuss it? And a little later, you would read that then he sets his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he determined, he committed himself to go to death and resurrection. And all I can say in response to that is, thank God. Now, back on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah depart, and then God speaks. "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." If you would remember nothing else about what I say, remember this. "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." In other words, not only hear his words, many people do that. Many people can quote him chapter and verse, but also obey his words. And I want you to see that obeying God transfigured the Lord Christ. The glory of God shone forth. The great lie of sin is that if you obey God, it will suck all the joy and life from you as a Christian. Jesus himself says that in faithful discipleship, we do not lose life, we gain it. "I have come that you might have life, and that abundantly." When we today hear the word eternal, We almost always think in terms of how long it is. When the Bible talks of eternity, it's thinking about not the quantity, but the quality. How wonderful the life of eternity is. The life of transcendent joy. There's no sense of time. There is joy. There is glory in the presence of God. And so in submitting to God's will, Jesus was transfigured, and so may we be also as his disciples. How else, you see, may we be the light of the world, the salt of the earth? And that's what he tells us we are. As we submit, as we bend the knee of our will, as we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, so does the presence of God grow within us. Paul writes of this. He says that over the unbeliever's vision, spiritual vision, understanding, is a veil, making them blind to Christ. That actually explains how in the New Testament people would see the Lord perform wonderful miracles, and their only response would be to destroy him. How can we kill him? But then Paul goes on to say in our epistle reading for today from 2 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 16, whenever anyone turns to the Lord Jesus, this veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let me give you that last verse again, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What is the will of God in our lives? Holiness. As we listen to Jesus, as we follow Jesus, we grow closer to the Lord Jesus, and we reflect to those around us more and more of his glory. Our growth in holiness to the Lord transfigures us, and we become the light of the world. So this isn't just an event that applies to the Lord Christ, something to look at with degree of interest and then move on. Now, we too are transfigured. This is what God wants to do in you. He wants to transfigure you. It's what God wants for us as individuals. It's what he wants for us as a church. So as the Lord Jesus submitted, so must we to the will of God. As we grow in holiness, the light of God shines in our lives and through our lives. This is the work of God the Holy Spirit. To man, well, this is impossible, but to God all things are possible. What do we take from this event, this transfiguration? What did God tell us? Listen to him. But don't just listen, obey him and follow him. And from us will shine the glory of God. So may it be. Amen.